This is Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. And as he does each Friday morning around this time, Jeff Shapiro joins us for his analysis of the Virginia political news. Hello, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne.
The soap opera that is the McDonald corruption trial continues. The former governor himself took the stand this week, and it just gets more and more bizarre.
Not for the faint of heart, indeed. The McDonald trial now in its 20th day. The governor has been on the stand 2 days. He'll return today for a third day of testimony. And in his testimony, he has been fleshing out claims that his marriage to Maureen McDonald of 35-plus years is shattered, that he and the former first lady barely spoke, ergo constructing a conspiracy to trade on his office would have been impossible. By the way, the governor indicated in his testimony something to which the TD has alluded in its reporting, that he and Mrs. McDonald are not living together. She is in residence at the family's house in Western Henrico. He is crashing at a rectory at a Catholic church in Churchill, a short distance, of course, from the state capitol, the executive mansion, and the U.S. courthouse, where he spends a considerable amount of time these days. Now, McDonald's story of this marriage rent asunder certainly is in contrast with the image that he has presented as a politician. Marriage, of course, has always been paramount to him. He's a family values guy. Famously, he outlined his views, maybe seemingly quaint views about marriage and family in that that thesis he wrote as a law school student at Pat Robertson's University Regent down in Southampton Roads. Now, the governor says Johnny Williams, the family's alleged benefactor, had never asked him, the governor, for anything in the way of official support for Anatoblock, that dietary supplement that Mr. Williams' company was developing. Also, that despite what Williams has said under oath, the governor knew nothing about the first of several loans to the McDonald's, the first, of course, for $50,000, that he learned of it only through his wife. Now, in the lifestyles of the rich and perhaps infamous department, the governor also talked about that drive he made from Smith Mountain Lake to Richmond in Johnny Williams' Ferrari. The governor said it was fun. It was a way of being human. Also, the governor didn't much care for the Rolex watch that he believed his wife had paid for as a Christmas present. It turns out Johnny Williams purchased it. The governor says it was a little too clunky, a little too massive for his taste. Excuse me. But also, the governor defended the $15,000 gift that was made to his daughter, Kaylin, to help pay for her marriage, excuse me, her wedding at the Executive Mansion in June 2011. Yet he was critical of his one of his son's acceptance of a golf club and UVA motif bag from Williams. The governor's position was that was all a bit too much. I think people are going to have to kind of pray over some of that testimony. Now, the prosecutors, of course, will eventually have a go at the governor and expect them to question the governor closely and intensely, particularly on why did he, in effect, conceal all those goodies from Johnny Williams.
As expected, the U.S. Supreme Court has granted a stay in the same-sex marriage case, blocking lower court orders which overthrew the Virginia ban until full review can be held by the court. That was not unexpected.
Not at all. And, of course, it seems that the Supreme Court is looking to bundle all of these cases so that the question of same-sex marriage can be settled for good, perhaps on a Brown-like scale. The appeal of the Fourth Circuit's affirmation comes from the Prince William County Clerk, Michelle McQuigg. It's interesting that even the Attorney General, Mark Herring is okay with this. Of course, he's a big supporter of same-sex marriage. He had opposed it. There was a constitutional amendment approved in 2006 by Virginia's voters that banned gay marriage in the state and prohibited Virginia from recognizing same-sex marriage from other states. Now, licenses for gay couples would have been available as early as yesterday had the Supreme Court not stepped in, as you point out, as expected.
Time is fleeting. Just a couple of minutes left. Eric Cantor now has formally left Congress. The Central Virginia congressman, former majority leader, who was unceremoniously unseated in the June Republican primary.
Going quietly, but do expect a lot of noise when Cantor's post-congressional plans get out, especially if it's a big, big, big dollar job, maybe with the financial services industry, which he was a huge cheerleader during his years in Congress. Now, again, the congressman quit to bypass an ethics rule that would have required he disclose negotiations with prospective employers. Now, I think what one could say here is that Eric Cantor, in effect, is telling his now former constituency, it is none of your business what I do as a private citizen.
There's a task force now created by Governor Terry McAuliffe to study and try to prevent campus sex assaults.
Yes, an important issue. Of course, the U.S. Justice Department has spotlighted this problem on Virginia campuses, among others. Governor signing an executive order to create this study. Certainly a nice way to generate a little bit of attention for a guy who's not getting much of it because the press corps has moved a block away to the U.S. courthouse to cover the McDonald trial. But maybe this is not without its advantages. Governor, of course, very busy working on his next step in the health care fight with the Republican legislature. He's been promising a possible plan as early as September 1st.
And finally, the Republicans have gained firm control of the state Senate by winning that special election in far southwest Virginia, replacing a former Democratic state senator with a Republican, so it's now 21-19.
Yes, and cementing control of the legislature, the Republicans won that seat easily, almost 2-1. The big news here, of course, is that there are no longer Democrats holding legislative seats west of Roanoke. And it means, of course, too, that the elections next year to decide control of the legislature, particularly the Senate, will be particularly high stakes for Democratic Governor Terry McAuliffe.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro, who analyzes Virginia political news for us here on WCVE each Friday morning at this time. Thanks, Jeff.
Have a great weekend.